In this episode, I share the story of a girl who crushed on me and how I had to ignore her, not because she wasn't beautiful, no, but because I wasn't looking for a relationship. Before I start with today's story, I want to put an end to a story that I began on this podcast a while ago. I made an episode on stalkers and how I had one whose name was Anna. She started stalking me in junior college, specifically the 11th grade, and somehow we ended up in the same class in degree college, which only meant that we coincidentally picked the same bachelor's degree. She must have been ecstatic that I was in the same class as her because she would get to see more of me. Well, spoiler alert on her character arc. Turns out she quit the college soon after, in the middle of the academic year, which meant that she was nowhere to be seen, thus putting an end to her chapter, probably for good. I was either ways getting uncomfortable having a private detective follow me around in college, or at least that's what it felt like. Today's story begins in the third year of my bachelor's degree. It follows the story of a girl who sat near me in class, and she used to look at me all the friggin' time. And she did not look at me like how you would look at others. That is, normally, she looked at me in the way you would look at your crush. Her name was Sally. Sally would light up the room of any room that she entered. She wore traditional clothes to college and was an extrovert who got along with anyone and everyone. She was mostly cheerful among her large group of friends with whom she used to hang around in college, and she was also part of a club which used to organize a lot of events and activities for a department. Another notable flaw of hers that I noticed, again, I'm just nitpicking, was that she was shy at times during public speaking. I thought that Sally had developed a crush on or for me during the third year of my degree course, but when I look back at the events and how they played out, I come to the realization that maybe this crush of hers towards me started even before than I actually realize. Specifically, I recall an event that happened in the second year of my degree college. But before we go to that particular incident, I want to talk about another example of how I did not realize a crush that a girl had on me. That is Selena, a girl from school, my school, when I was in school, had a crush on me, and I did not realize until it was too late. Too late meaning school ended late, as in, yeah, we graduated school. Now, why did I not realize? You would believe that it is obvious, these things, but not for me, apparently. It's like when a girl talks flirty to you and you mistake it for being friendly and you brush it off. And then one night when you're 30 years old and you're about to go to sleep, and then you go, oh, that's what she was trying to do. Dang it. I said that I would tell you about a specific event I recalled from the second year that I think is where Sally's crush for me began. So this is that particular event or incident. In the second year, during recess, I stood outside the class waiting for my friends. They had gone to the washroom and I stood outside alone. While I was waiting, Sally and her friend came up to me. They asked me to solve a problem, and it turned out that they were playing a game. And in the game, they were not able to decide a winner amongst themselves, and they needed a third party to declare the winner. So Sally briefed me on her side of the story. Then her friend continued to do the same. Then Sally asked me, so Rylan, who do you think wins? I had to decide between Sally and her friend and pick a winner in this particular situation. That is what was asked of me, is what I interpreted. I didn't know what to say. It seemed to me like a trick question, and I didn't want to pick sides either. So I gave a neutral response. I did not side either with Sally or with her friend. And after giving that response, Sally immediately left with her friends. But I could see her face before she left. And the observation I made was that she wasn't, that is, Sally wasn't happy with the decision I made. I did not understand why she was unhappy. Was it because I gave the wrong answer? Or was it because I didn't pick her? Or was it something deeper than I assumed? I didn't know back then. Sally's staring towards me was not picked up initially by me. I am not generally aloof when it comes to these things. But you know what happens when boys accidentally mistake girls' actions of friendliness towards them for romantic advances. It leads the boys to a world of pain. So I deluded myself into thinking that she must be looking at someone else. Maybe the guy to the back, to the front, to my left, or to my right. But not me. Not me. But no matter how hard I tried to delude myself or deny that she wasn't staring at me, and that stare towards me was of a romantic nature, the evidence proved otherwise. What evidence, you ask? Well, anecdotal evidence of her body language and actions in class that I gathered through my observation. I list out a few notable instances of certain incidents that occurred between the both of us throughout this episode, which I believe contributed to my belief that she had a crush on me. In the first half of the third year, I remember that I developed this phase where I only wore hoodies to college every single day. I felt cozy in them. They covered the entirety of my torso, and even though the weather where I live is not suited for hoodies and I felt hot inside them at times, I was like, it is worth the feeling of coziness and feeling hugged or covered by the hoodies. My friends too asked me, why on earth are you wearing hoodies in such a hot temperature, weather, atmosphere? And I had to shrug them off. I bring up the hoodie talk specifically because Sally always wore traditional clothes to college, as I mentioned about her in her introduction earlier in the episode. She never wore any type of outfit or article of clothing that broke her dress code that she set for herself. Not that she couldn't break her dress code, it was simply the observation I made about her up till that point. One day, however, Sally came to college dressed in a hoodie. And it was no special occasion, not that I could tell. If it was her birthday, then she would certainly be surrounded by her 1,000 friends who would be wishing her happy birthday, and whatnot. But that was not the case. She was dressed in modern wear. Like, apart from the hoodie, she was wearing the other elements of an outfit that were modern in nature or in fashion. Completely opposite to the traditional wear that she frequently rocked to college. If I were to describe her hoodie, then I would say that it looked eerily similar to the ones I used to wear to college. And her body language, Sally's body language that day in college, was of someone that was itching to show off their merchandise to others when they buy new material products. And in this case, others was not others. Others was me. She was specifically doing that thing where she was trying to show off her hoodie to me. How do I know that? Well, she passed by me, in front of me, through me. Not through me, that makes no sense. But an unnatural amount of times to ensure that I noticed it. If I could tell her, then I would tell her that, yes, Sally, I saw your hoodie and it looks great on you. She also glanced at me from afar to check whether I was checking her out. And how do I know this? I know this because of my peripheral vision, and there will be a lot of peripheral vision references moving forward in this episode. Sally honestly took mirroring the body language to the next level by mirroring the outfits of her crush. I wonder whose advice she was following, if any, or was she acting out of pure instincts? Another instance was that one day in college, I arrived late and all the seats were occupied. However, one two-seater bench was completely empty, and that was located adjacent to Sally's bench. Seeing as how I had no other options, I proceeded to arrive at that empty bench and sat on it. Even after I sat on it, there was a spot empty next to me, and Sally always kept her bag on her desk, and she had plenty of space on her desk to keep her bag. But on this particular day, when I sat on the bench adjacent to her, she took the bag, her bag in her hands, and she put it on the bench I was sitting next to me on my desk. And I pretended to notice and not care. On the inside, it was blatantly obvious to me that Sally was up to something. What was she up to? I don't know. That bench where I sat, which was adjacent to Sally's bench, was empty several times, and I noticed it. But never once did she keep her backpack on that bench. Our college had strict rules regarding boy-girl relationships, wherein boys and girls could not even sit on the same bench together, which led me to believe that Sally knew on some level that we could not sit on the same bench together, like ever. So the next best thing she came up with was, maybe if I can't sit with Rylan, maybe my back can? Honestly, I don't know what was going through Sally's mind at that point in time. I recall another moment where one day during class, a bench adjacent to mine was empty, and Sally took that opportunity, seized the bull by the horns, and decided to come and sit next to me. And through my peripheral vision, I noticed her intentionally drop a piece of paper from a bench, and that piece of paper flew and slipped down below my bench. And I instinctively bent downwards to grab that piece of paper, not to read what was written on it. That was never my intention, but to return it back to her. I knew with her body language that she was almost trying to get the paper back, and the only way she could get it is if she went through my legs. So that it was proper etiquette, you know, if somebody drops a piece of stationery, you pick it up and give it back to them. So I bent downwards and picked up, or at least tried to pick up, the piece of paper to return it back to Sally. But with each attempt that I tried to pick up the piece of paper, the paper was slipping from my hands. I don't know why it was slipping, but after 10-15 attempts, I finally picked up the piece of paper and handed it over to Sally without reading what was written on it. Sally must have clearly been thinking that I'm doing it on purpose, and even my partner must be thinking that there is definitely something going on between these two. I am not sure to this day what was her attempt with this paper slip thing. Did she want me to read the paper, or did she want us to touch hands as I returned it to her? I was completely clueless. Let's talk about where the two of us sat in class so that you get a much more vivid idea of how my observation of her shenanigans really came to be. I sat diagonally behind her in class, wherein I could clearly observe her from my peripheral vision, or even looking directly at her from the back, whereas she, if she wanted to look at me, would have to turn around, turn backwards diagonally, and to look at me. Even though she was in plain sight and for me to clearly view, I did not look at her a lot, because from my peripheral vision, I noticed all the time that she was staring at me. any attempt I made to look at her would only mean that we would lock eyes and it would turn into another awkward moment. I noticed that Sally used to mirror my body language in an eerie manner. If I sat erect in the middle of the class during the lecture, she copied my body language. If I slouched, she copied that too. If I put my head down, it was friggin' copied. At a certain point, I could not claim this to be coincidences anymore. One day in class, I decided that I would run an experiment. An experiment to prove that this was not a coincidence. And in the experiment, I would purposefully change my position 5 times in a random order within 30 seconds. And if every single move of mine was copied to the T by Sally, then it's not a coincidence, is it? So I conduct the experiment, and what I notice from my peripheral vision as I am conducting it is that she literally was looking backwards towards me or at me and mirroring my every single move that I made. I have heard the trick where they say in dating advice that you should mirror the body language of the person you like, and it subconsciously tells them or makes them fall in love with you or something. But that trick, spoiler alert, was not working out on me one bit. And I'm out here wondering in class how no one is noticing a boy and a girl be in complete sync as if we are performing some sort of a robotic dance and not accusing us of being in a relationship already. During the third year, I remember growing out my hair, my facial hair and the hair on my head for an episode. And because of it, I said goodbye to my trimmer for an upwards of a year and did not take any haircuts whatsoever. Towards the end of this period, I looked homeless. You would certainly mistake me for a homeless man and give me a spare change if you passed by me on the road. More on this hair thing experience in its own dedicated episode, but I provide this context because I wondered what this blow to my appearance would make Sally react towards me. Would she like me less or would she stop liking me? I didn't know. All I could do after looking shabby and homeless was observe her reaction. I expected a negative reaction from Sally towards my appearance change, but to my surprise, Sally's reaction was overwhelmingly positive. It turned out that she started sitting closer to me in the seating position in the classroom and she started staring at me even more. I genuinely wondered whether Sally had a thing for homeless guys. I'll never know. I wondered what Sally liked about me. Was it my appearance? My personality? If yes, what part of my personality or appearance? I wanted to know. Similar to the stalker episode, these cases are tough to handle. You see, as long as the person doesn't outright confess to you, you're in a game of stalemate. What this means is, if you go and confront them about them crushing on you and you accuse them of this claim, what happens is, you end up looking like a fool. Let me tell you why. Couldn't they simply deny the accusation saying you're delusional? Absolutely. And you think that you can prove this claim with your anecdotal evidence. Good luck. So in this situation, it was clearly a waiting game. And this game would only end at the end of the year. And the end of the year for me would be the end of the third year. And the third year also happens to be the end of my bachelor's degree course. And end of the year would mean freedom from her staring as we would finish college. But let's hold our horses for a bit. Before that happened, the end of year, there was still a key pivotal moment or event in the anime or the anime arc left to occur. What I am talking about is the farewell. Our college held a farewell for us final year folks, and I did not show up to my very own farewell. Oh, now, why was that the case? Well, I thought it was boring. Who wanted to sit in a suit in a hot weather, sweating your buttocks off for hours, being a spectator to speeches and performance that you couldn't give a dang about? That was not me. So I decided that I would not attend it. My college life may have started out great, but towards the end, it was miserable. I have yet to progress a few series on this podcast that would expand upon this sentiment of mine. But up till now, or at least as for now, just take me on that fact. If I didn't attend the farewell, which I claimed I did, then what was I doing instead? Well, I was at home studying. Before you start booing me, no, I am not the nerd that people claim me to be. I was studying because my college prelims would start a day after the farewells. Horrible exam scheduling by my college as always, nothing new. And I didn't want to waste a quarter of a day, you know, spent during the farewell when I could use it for studying instead, as I am the person who studies last minute, and this was last minute, technically. So while I was at home studying, the rest of my classmates were at the college attending the farewell. Later, when the farewell pics were shared in the college group chat, I saw Sally in the pictures. Not only that, I saw that she attended the farewell. That was the conclusion. And she wore an amazing dress. Not to be a narcissist, but if we go through with the assumption we made that she had a crush on me, it would suck that your crush didn't see you in the beautiful dress you wore that you would only get to wear on one day of the year for such a special occasion. Or at least that's what I thought that she thought. Who knows? Maybe she even planned to confess to me on the day of the farewell. But I wouldn't know. I'm just out here making guesses. After the farewell, the days continued normally. We saw each other's faces during the prelim exams conducted by our college, but we didn't see our faces after that during the university exams, as we were both allotted different college centers. And after the final exams ended, there's not much of to say, is there? Because your ties with the college effectively end. You stop going to the college and complete your degree. Sally missed her chance to confess to me. Maybe it was for the best. Perhaps she noticed that her love for me was one-sided by how I rarely used to look at her. Towards the end, Sally had the same look in her eyes like Selena, the girl from my school who had a crush on me, and I didn't notice. Her eyes, that is Sally's eyes, spoke more than words. Her eyes carried the weight of her feelings. If you looked into Sally's eyes, it would read, "If only you knew how I felt about you." As she didn't explicitly confess in this case, that is why I believe that is what her eyes would tell me if they could speak. In this case, I knew Sally's feelings, but I had to play the waiting game to help alleviate the both of us from this unpleasant situation. It is not easy at all to stop crushing over someone. If me looking like a homeless man was not enough to deter Sally away from liking me, then that just proves the point of how we wear rose-tinted glasses when we stare at our crushes, putting them on a pedestal, thinking that they are these perfect creatures who are devoid of flaws, when in reality, they are just plain old humans like you and me. But under the influence of these rose-tinted glasses, we can't see our crushes in the same manner that we do regular people. I would call this a psychological illusion, or perhaps the crush effect. The reason behind why I kept my distance from Sally was because I knew if I spoke to her and became her friend and she got to know me, then it would hurt her more knowing that she has this friend whom she has a crush on, who's so close to her, yet so far away. You see, I have experienced my fair share of unrequited love. And having her go through the same after having experienced the pain firsthand myself would not sit right with me. Unrequited love causes emotional pain to the individual suffering from it. And I didn't want my actions to expand the pain she was feeling. So I decided to keep my interactions with her to a minimum. If I had not experienced unrequited love, then I might have believed that being friends with her would have been a good idea, not knowing how deeply it would hurt her and how I would be completely oblivious to it. If this experience has taught me one thing, then it would be that unrequited love is a pain in the buttocks. I wish everyone loved people who loved them back. There were so many great guys in our class, but unfortunately, Sally was fixated on the one guy who didn't like her back. I hope Sally meets the person who will love Sally as much as she will love him. Having not spoken to Sally for the entire duration of the 2 years in college that she spent staring at me, I crowned myself as the winner of the waiting game. And that's all I have for this episode.